Okay, here we are. Hour number two. It's Monday. It's Monday, Mitch. Hello, Mitch. Welcome back. How are you?
Hello, Jeff. I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm here. Thank you. Glad to be here.
Okay.
What can I say?
Me too.
All right. We'll be here as long as we can, and you know, as long as there's a free microphone and a broadcast platform, we'll be here. We'll be here. Now, you have spent some time on the vaccine fail. It is a fail in terms of blocking infection with the alleged non-existent virus. So it failed to do that. But the vaccine was always the virus, as we know now. That was the issue, wasn't the alleged coronavirus. So what do you have? What'd you find?
Keep in mind that coronaviruses, adenoviruses, and rhinoviruses are all just common cold viruses. Okay, so if you test for, if they do this PCR on you and you've ever had a cold, you're likely to be positive. Okay, so
sure.
But it's not positive for this specific virus that we're talking about. So what I wanted to talk about today is to understand the full implications of policies leading up to the collapse of the United States and ultimately the global collapse, you need to look no further than the lies that we are told, okay? So let me start out
the non-stop lies. Non-stop.
Non-stop.
Yeah, I've never seen anything like it.
You can't tell the truth about anything. Okay,
no.
It's so apparent. So let's start with the climate change and the Green New Deal. The climate change scare is just that, scare tactics. The concept is simple. Make everyone on Earth afraid that the climate will exterminate all life on Earth, then propose new energy technologies to replace the current relatively inexpensive technologies. This gives an immense fortune to the global elite in both direct grants from the government and prices so high that few can afford it. It is intended to impoverish the bulk of humanity and create wealth for a few far beyond what they will ever be able to spend to the direct detriment of all. As stated in the Green New Deal, this policy is directly intended to place people of color in the middle class and directly intended to move white people into abject poverty. This is clearly stated in the Green New Deal. It's right there in the congressional bill. Okay, they tell you what they intend, and they laugh at how you believe it anyways. Okay?
They do. Sure.
So let's move on to terrorism. As Islamic terrorism waned, they made the new boogeyman white supremacist terrorists. And as our social justice warrior chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mark Milley, says, white rage, along with climate change, are the greatest threats to America. Okay, bogus threats. They don't even exist. He can't fight a real war, so he's going to fight wars that aren't wars at all. Okay.
By the way, just a quickie, 90 retired generals and admirals, 90, have called now for the immediate resignation of General Milley and that idiot Secretary of Defense Austin. 90 retired generals.
Oh, my gosh. There's a Marine Lieutenant Colonel who just made a video saying these guys should be held accountable. And he said, I know I've been in the Marines for 17 years, and I'll probably be relieved of command. And, of course, he was relieved of command. But he spoke the truth, though, which is the most important thing. Most people don't buy into the whole white terrorist narrative, no matter how hard they push it. Candace Owens testified before Congress that after wealthy white social justice warrior women made the case against white terrorists, she stated that she has been black in America all her life, and if she was to list the top 100 things that are a threat to black people, white supremacists would not even make the list. White supremacist terrorism has failed to manifest itself as an actual problem in reality and only exists in social justice warrior fantasy land. So we intentionally created the mess at Kabul airport so that ISIS and Al-Qaeda terrorists could be airlifted directly to our land without screening to murder Americans. The State Department admits that they don't know who these people are, just that we should accept them. In fact, we have repeatedly told Americans to shelter in place in Afghanistan and not to go to the airport. It wasn't about helping Americans get out of Afghanistan. It was about helping terrorists get into the United States. Okay? If the Americans do not go to the airport, how will they get out? Our government doesn't want them to get out. They put unknown Afghans ahead of Americans. Even Chairman Biden said, just because you're an American does not mean that you get preference in flights. And that's exactly what happened. We have left hundreds of Americans behind. There is a message here. The government of the United States cares about everybody except American citizens. Okay? Could the following scenario be possible? The motive. Our government wants Americans slaughtered in public spaces to create fear. They want to increase crime here at home. Fear is the currency of control. The opportunity. Fly any ISIS or Al-Qaeda terrorists to the USA without any screening and move them to a location near you. The solution. Gun control, as always.
Always. Yep.
They have to have these crises, and this will always be the solution to all violence, is gun control. Next is the COVID lie, meant to scare each of us personally, with the goal of both exterminating billions of humans and to make the remaining humans into full interface with the Internet, AI, IoT, and the body net through mandatory COVID vaccine. A paper out of Harvard's Department of Chemistry and Chemical Biology entitled Bio-Inspired Neuron-Like Electronics gives technical information on the human Internet interface and is authored by the exact same researchers who published the Sino-Biological papers on microbial batteries and cellular chemical manufacture papers that I mentioned previously. The same authors. Okay, and this came out of Harvard. Okay. In addition, Dr. Robert O. Young published a paper 10 days ago called Scanning and Transmission Electron Microscopy Reveals Graphene Oxide in COVID-19 Vaccines. Okay. This is presented as a regular scientific paper. He has an abstract, he has a methodology, and then he goes through what he finds, okay? So, and he actually, I looked up what you had mentioned to me about the La Quinta Columna, which is a group of Spanish scientists who previously had done the same research on the vaccines. And in science, replication is a good thing, not a bad thing, okay? Mm-hmm. The more people do it, the more solid the information is. But he said in this paper, he said, and I'm quoting, the Pfizer, Moderna, AstraZeneca, and Janssen, which is the Johnson & Johnson, drugs are not vaccines, but complex graphene oxide nanoparticle aggregations of varying nanoelements attached to genetically modified nucleic acids of mRNA from animal and aborted fetus cells, as viewed and described as above. Once again, the ingredients in these so-called vaccines are highly magnetocytotoxic, cytotoxic, and genotoxic to human cell membranes, and their genetics, which has already led to serious injuries in over 500 million people and the eventual death of, he puts, about 35 million people, but I think it's going to be more before this is all over, because it's not going to be over. It's going to just keep going on and on. This analysis also listed chromium, aluminum, copper, bismuth, titanium, vanadium, iron, and cadmium selenide, and silicon. These are things that you make microchips and stuff with, okay? These are common elements used in digital electronics. All used to make nanobots that they can carry out a plethora of electronic and chemical tasks for what the author calls nano-bio interaction effects. We are told daily that COVID deaths are the direct responsibility of unvaccinated people for the shaming of the unvaccinated, create negative peer pressure on unvaccinated people. And the doublethink here is that you, an American citizen, has to give up your job if you're not vaccinated, yet your government is letting 200,000 illegal aliens from all over the world cross the Mexican border each day without COVID vaccinations, driving them to every location in America, even though they know these people have COVID, and even stopping the buses at restaurants, coughing and hacking on American citizens to infect us. Coronaviruses spike between December and May every year. The spike in infections that we see now are a result of intentional federal policy to scare Americans into compliance with the COVID vaccine mandate. Okay. My fellow Americans, your government either wants you under control at a cellular level or they want you dead. Our government is doing nothing for the general welfare of the people, but treasonously wants to create as much general suffering and deprivation of liberty as possible. This is also to enrich the global elite and create a globalist totalitarian police state. American citizens are, in fact, the enemy of the state. The very first step towards disobeying is disbelieving all of the lies. Okay? So I have to suggest that you read my book, A Man Beyond His Mission, available at Amazon. I tell you how the government lies to you from my personal experience. It is not hearsay. It is firsthand witness account of how your nation is not just a business, but a con game. Okay, you need to disabuse yourself of all the false narratives you have heard all your life.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, so let's face this big squeeze that the government is using to imprison you in your own land. And these are from just official public sources.
Hey, Mitch, you know when you talk about when you talk about your government is using this to imprison you in your own land, what comes to your mind when you think about our government? How do you view it, government? What is it?
Government is this. It's actually a natural state of affairs where any government or any state, what its goal is, and this is just unthinkingly, it's just something that they have to do. They have to gain more control over more aspects of your life, and then centralize that control as much as they can.
That's a contemporary definition. Yeah. We do not have a representative government. We don't have any government at all here. You know it. Most everyone listening knows it. We do not have a government. These are caretakers for a group of people who most people will never see, never hear the names of. They are serving the international elite. And the international elite has pulled the plug on this country. And so down and down it goes. And the government less and less represents anything close to the will of the majority of the people. Doesn't care. It's not our government.
It could care less. Listen, our government will kill Americans to accomplish what they're told to do.
You got it.
Yes. They'll even take you out in order to accomplish their goal. Okay, so sometimes we can look at what happens in other countries to see what can happen here. So this is going to be very brief, but I want to just take a look at what's happening in Australia and New Zealand to see what is ahead for us. The Prime Minister of Australia has locked his nation down until 70% are vaccinated. Australia has a population of 25 million people and has had 1,000 COVID deaths, which is 0.00004% of its population. It's statistically insignificant,
of course.
It is the pretext for a police state. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And this is what they said. The Australian police raided a church service in the name of Jesus. They raided this church service and fined the church $5,000 and fining 30 attendees $1,000 apiece for going to church and $500 additional for not wearing masks. Okay,
and so something wrong with that. Something wrong with that, Mitch? Huh?
Well, finding
just
people for going to church.
Jeez.
Yeah, I don't even know if China finds you that much for going to church. You know,
I don't think so. They don't like Catholics.
So.
But, yeah,
that's a pretty big fine, okay, for going to church. But what struck me was that the police said that it was in the name of Jesus that they did it.
Okay. Wow.
It's the irony is just overwhelming. An illegal engagement party was fined $220,000 for breaching the lockdown. The new fines are as follows: $5,000 for breaking self-isolation protocols, $5,000 for lying on a request for a travel permit, $5,000 for lying to a contract tracer, $5,000 for exercising outside exceeding two persons, and $5,000 for unpermitted travel outside of the home. They just raised the fines. I saw an article where, like a week ago, there's some kids, you know, they broke out and went down to the beach to party. They arrested them all and fined them $1,000
apiece. Yeah, I know.
Yes.
Look, this is amazing. Australia. Anything else to add to that?
Well, just that they have army troops and police are going door to door to check vaccination status of people in their own homes.
Wow.
Okay.
This is in Victoria, right? The state of Victoria?
Right. State of Victoria. In New Zealand, everyone has been placed on house arrest and all businesses closed because of one new COVID case. New Zealand has five.
Alleged.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Has 5 million people and has had 25 COVID deaths. That is only 0.00000052% of the people. Such draconian measures to save so few people. I mean, I saw this report done by this. He did autopsies on people who allegedly died of COVID, and he found that 75% of them actually had pulmonary embolisms. This is like a blood clot that forms and gets into your pulmonary artery and cuts off your air supply to your body. Okay, so he looked at the autopsies, and that's what he could find. I mean, he could find that pulmonary embolism in 75% of the people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, these are like, if you're bedridden for a week, you're very likely to form a DVT, a deep vein thrombosis, which can throw a clot into your lung and kill you. Okay,
if you take an 18-hour air flight. You can develop DVT as well. I mean, that they've had a lot of people die from that.
Oh, yeah.
Deep vein thrombosis just from a long-term flight.
Oh, yeah. Or being just cramped. There was this journalist in Iraq during the invasion, and he was relatively young. He was in his 40s, but he was cramped in one of those military vehicles. And when he stood up outside to stretch his legs, he threw a clot, and it killed him from a pulmonary embolism. So it wasn't even war related. So this is a common thing.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So both New Zealand and Australia have roadblocks and checkpoints set up to keep people from traveling. Okay.
I'm sorry. Say that again. Who? You're a little bit
New
muddy
Zealand
on the mic.
New Zealand and Australia have roadblocks and checkpoints set up.
Yeah. pull back, Mitch, would you pull back away from the mouthpiece just a little bit?
Sure.
I think that'll help.
Is that better?
A little bit, yeah. You're a little bit too close, I think. Okay, that's good.
Okay.
Now, New Zealand is absolutely despised by the people there, the people I know. I know a few. They're just, yeah, but only surpassed by the people of Australia, who cannot believe what's happening to their country, what's happening to their people. And they better get used to it, because this is the beta test. This is, they're going to see how much abuse they can heap on an otherwise freedom-oriented culture. And they're taking it all away. All right, hold on a minute.
Yeah,
Mitchell
these are,
Henderson.
These are bellwethers, yes.
Yeah.
No, these are bellwether nations.
Yeah. That's right. Back in a minute with Mitchell Henderson. Hold on. Okay, here we are back. All right, Mitchell, roll on.
Okay, so if we're looking at New Zealand and Australia as bellwethers for what they're going to do here, they were able to do what they did in New Zealand and Australia because in the past 35 years, both Australia and New Zealand has disarmed its public, okay? They
yes,
didn't
they
have a Bill of Rights, so they just legislatively banned everybody having a weapon. So, in the United States, Chairman Biden has signed an executive order banning weapons and ammunition imports from Russia. Russia supplies 40% of the American ammunition market. That's Wolf, Bomb Bear, and Tool Ammo brands of ammunition. Juliet Kayyem, who is assistant to Attorney General Janet Reno under the Clintons, and Assistant Secretary of Homeland Security under the Marxist Barack Obama, has stated that everyone who has been vaccinated is on a central CDC database. So she is proposing that it would be easy to put all of the non-vaccinated people on a gun no-buy list as well as a no-fly list. Eventually, they could be able to go door to door and seize the firearms of the unvaccinated, because they're a threat to everybody else. The unvaccinated are, and this
pathology, domestic terrorists. Come on, let's not mince words here.
Yes, exactly. So they even had a video of a TikTok video of that Marine where he lost his job, the Marine Lieutenant Colonel. But an Army female Army staff sergeant made a video saying that if there's a lockdown in America and Americans steps outside of their home, armed or unarmed, that they are the enemy and she would shoot them. Okay, this is what we have for a military now. Okay, on August 24th issue of the New York Times, it said mandates on the way as Pfizer vaccine gets full U.S. nod. FDA approval paves the way for colleges, hospitals, and corporations to act. Okay, this is going to cause a lot of problems. Okay, when they tried to force this. Okay, judges are now sentencing people to get vaccinated, and everybody in prison or jail is forced to get vaccinated. Getting arrested for anything now is a death penalty.
Where is this? I missed it, Mitch. I'm sorry. Where is this?
This is judges here in the United States are actually sentencing people to get vaccinated.
Which states?
You go in for DWI, part of your probation is that you get the vaccination.
What states?
This is all over the United States. This is
okay, I've not run across this. This is the first I've heard of this. That's why I ask. Have not heard of judges ordering people to be force-vaxxed.
I've seen three studies, three articles from three different parts of the country about this. Now, this one came, and this is from Illinois, that judges are denying child visitation to unvaccinated parents in family court. Okay. Now, in order to work by or sell, you will need a vaccination. This will close our economy down in the next couple of months. Already, hospitals cannot find enough nurses to staff their beds right now. It will get worse. Medical people know this vaccine is bullshit. Already, one out of three nurses have left nursing, and another one out of three are threatening to because they don't want to take the vaccine. An ER doctor wrote an op-ed saying that the unvaccinated, this is in New Mexico, saying that unvaccinated people who die of COVID don't deserve any sympathy and should be turned away for treatment since there is not enough room at the hospitals anymore. This is hatred towards the unvaxxed, coming from a doctor.
Yeah. Oh, yes, hate. That's the key word. You got it.
It's hatred.
They're teaching corporations hatred of all
of us. Corporations are making unvaccinated people pay surcharges for their health insurance. That's just the first step. They'll just make it mandatory now that they have FDA approval. Isn't it funny that the Democrats who promise health care for everyone are creating a health care for no one situation? Okay. They're such obvious liars. Why is such intense efforts to get every person on earth vaccinated? To the secular audience, it is about having control of every detail of your life on the cellular level. It is total control dystopia and is about murdering you. In fact, a report out today shows that a majority of anti-vaxxers, in fact, are secular people with degrees in sciences, PhDs, and people with no political affiliation. Even these people can see that the USA is collapsing and that civilization is collapsing also. Even at a Trump rally in Alabama last week, when Trump suggested that people get vaccinated, he was met with loud boos from the audience.
Yeah, okay. I saw it. Yeah.
To the Christians in the audience, it is the mark of the beast. Let me explain. AI works through the Internet or the World Wide Web, abbreviated everywhere as www. W in Hebrew is also the number 6, so www equals 666. I first read this in the highly respected British news weekly, The Economist, back in 1997, that the IoT, Internet of Things, uses the universal product codes found on all things. The UPC is a computer-readable number used on the World Wide Web. It is bracketed on the left and the right by two thin lines. There are two thin lines that sit down the middle beyond the other lines that are there. The two lines are the number 6. So every number on every object sold is bracketed by 666. Finally, the graphene used in the nanobot that turns your cells into graphene hydrogel dielectric, which is the thing that gives you the interface with the Internet, a human, is an allotrope. Graphene is an allotrope of carbon. Like carbon comes, the allotrope just means like there's coal, there's diamond, and there's graphite, and they're all basically, they're just carbon, just different manifestations.
Different forms of carbon, yeah.
Right. So graphene has 6 protons, 6 neutrons, and 6 electrons, or 666, okay? So Revelations tells you to figure it out. So what more do you need to figure? Should we ignore the obvious? Even the elect will be deceived into getting the vaccine. Once you get it, there is no going back. You are in a fight for both your life and your eternal soul. I know many Christians that have received the shot because they don't want to believe that the life they used to know is over for good. They believe that our satanic government's lies about we can't get back to normal until everyone is vaccinated. Satan never makes good on his deals. Many Christians are in denial that these are the end times because they want their life to go on as planned. People who do not believe in the end times believe that civilization is not only collapsing, but but that it needs to do so so we can be free again. Okay, civilization has to collapse for our freedom. Okay, it'll be a rough road to hoe, but we can't go on with this globalist elite abusing us like they are now. Okay. The war on anti-vaxxers will shut this nation down. In 1 month, the real pain will start to be felt in the economy. Within 3 months, our economy could collapse. Within 3 months, the anti-vaxxer war alone could kill half of our population. And that's not just from fighting. That's from lack of goods and services. Okay. Right. In other words, there's no food, there's no water, anything like that. Remember the psychological preparation of the battlefield that I talked about? So Newsweek's August 13 cover had a news scare. The cover is called the Doomsday Variant. It went from the Death Variant cover to a Doomsday Variant in just a few weeks. Okay?
Yeah, they're part of the mechanism, sure.
Oh, sure, sure. Scientific American is, too. I used to really like that magazine, but I'm really going to dislike it.
They're all owned by the same people, Mitch.
Yes,
you know that.
Are.
Our listeners know that. So we're going to get exactly
what we
expect. Yeah.
Yes. The big information out there is very tightly controlled, you know. But the Scientific American was more propaganda for the public health totalitarian state. It said, the cover said, the next deadly plague, the coming worldwide threat of fungal disease. So we got viruses attacking us. Now we're going to have funguses attacking us. Okay?
Well, they got it in India, you know, the black fungus. So.
Oh, yeah.
Watch
yeah,
out.
It's just, here
if they turn that loose here, it wouldn't take for 10 or 15 cases, and people would freak.
Article,
I'm telling you.
Yeah, in this article in Scientific American, they were talking about Joaquin Valley fever, okay, which they said is a deadly fungus. And there are people that have to have, like, certain lobes of their lungs cut off to cure it and stuff. But at the same time, I know people, lots of people who have Valley fever, and they're going to do absolutely nothing about it. It doesn't. It's not a big threat. Okay, to normal humans, it's not a big threat. Okay, but once you get the vaccine, I wouldn't say you're a normal human anymore. They change the terrain of your body so that all kinds of things can attack you and infect you. They're just preparing your mind to believe that this is something exogenous, that this exotic, that this pooped up its head from nowhere and is going to attack us. Okay, so it all comes down to never let a crisis go to waste. Okay, and if there's not
That's
a crisis,
right.
as we can see in Kabul, they will create a crisis. Okay,
sure.
To accomplish their goals. Even the thing in Kabul, Jeff. Listen to the just follow the logic here. So our news says that when they let the prisoners out of the prison in Bagram, that they let all the ISIS people go. Well, the ISIS is the enemy of the Taliban, and foreign news reported that they took the ISIS out and blew their heads off.
Wait a minute, are you saying at Bagram Air Force Base or Air Base?
Right. There was
man.
A prison there, and they, of course the Taliban let the Taliban prisoners go, but our press says that they let ISIS people go, but they did not. In fact, foreign journalists who were there on the scene said that they summarily executed the ISIS people that they had, especially the leadership of ISIS, okay? So there's point one. Point two is CNN reporter named Clarissa, I can't remember her last name, she had an interview, in-person interview, with the head of ISIS in Afghanistan at a hotel in Kabul 2 weeks ago. Okay, So this is ISIS. They usually chop women's heads off. They don't have interviews with them. And they chop reporters' heads off. They don't have interviews with them. So who was really – I don't believe she really interviewed an ISIS commander. I believe she interviewed a CIA asset is who she interviewed there.
Well, why not?
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, even the CIA says the CIA even said of that interview. There's a former CIA agent said that that was the CIA setting up an interview with the CIA. Okay,
That's what they say about it.
Okay, so not everybody's fooled. Then a report just came out today in the foreign press that in fact the U.S. military was warned 13 hours before the attack.
Yes.
That the
yes.
attack was coming, and they did nothing about it. Then you look at who was killed. Well, 13 American service people were killed, and 28 Taliban soldiers were killed, and about 140 or so Afghan civilians. There, in fact, were no Americans killed in the crowd when this bomber set off. And then I had some military intelligence guys ask me some questions. They're just asking questions. They're not making a statement because they don't know. But they said that the Taliban has used suicide bombings for 20 years. Okay, but yet the Taliban has never been the victim of a suicide bombing until this bombing at the Kabul airport. Okay. They haven't been a victim because they know how to do suicide bombings, and because they have done them so much, they also mm-hmm. know how to search for suicide bombers, okay? They are not shy. The people going to the airport, they're searched. They'll strip search them right there in front of everybody. So the Taliban is not shy about searching these people. They're not trying to act like good guys. They're whipping people. They even shot a woman in the head for not having a hijab on at the checkpoint. So they know what they're doing. And the suicide bomber had 25 pounds of explosives on him. And how could the Taliban possibly miss that? And they even asked the question, did the bomber come from inside the airport, or did he come from outside the airport? You know, they're skeptical. The guy they killed in the first attack, well, they just put out a thing saying that, you know, all these predators have been just going around blowing up innocent civilians in Afghanistan, and they've shown the videos of it and stuff and admitted to it. And then we blow some guy up on a hillside somewhere and say, oh, yeah, he was the ISIS guy that planned that, you know. Okay. Then they hit a car that was traveling towards the airport with a car bomb on it. Okay. Now, I've personally seen what a car bomb will do. Okay. The damage done, not just to people, but to the buildings around them and stuff, and to the car itself. Often a car bomb may have like an axle or, you know, a few car parts laying about. That's all. Uh-huh. Well, this car that we dropped this predator dropped this bomb on, I saw pictures of the car. I saw first the explosion itself in the foreign press. And there was no secondary explosive. So when you bomb something that is explosive, you have a secondary explosive. I know this from calling in airstrikes, too, because we count those secondary explosives.
Right.
So this car, they show the car. The car looks like a bomb hit it. It does not look like it was full of explosives at all. So I personally have to call bullshit on that. Statement by the Pentagon. Joe Biden's just going around killing people to make it look like, oh, he's being strong and he's getting revenge on ISIS for what they did.
I think
it's nonsense. It's just it's just propaganda of the deed, you know. And Chairman Biden, the airplane comes in with the 13 servicemen. Yeah, he's so bored, he's looking at his watch. instead of, you know, paying attention to the proceedings. Okay,
he actually found his watch on his wrist. Interesting.
Yeah, he looked. He tried to do it kind of slyly, but you could tell he was
bored.
Get
the hell out of here! What am I doing here?
Another thing, Jeff, is like it's like who's complicit in this lying? It's like I watched a video of Naftali Bennett, the Israeli Prime Minister, talking with Joe Biden, and Biden obviously went to sleep. Okay?
Obviously, I saw it.
Obviously went to sleep. Okay, but even Naftali Bennett, he told the I looked at the Peretz, the Zionist press in Israel, and they said Naftali Bennett said that that Biden did not fall asleep on him.
No, he was meditating on the importance of the words that Bennett was saying, and that's all.
Yes, possibly.
Biden
after
was processing.
All,
he was processing it. Processing.
And Bennett is the same guy who said, well, the Messiah can't come back unless everybody gets vaccinated. So it's like...
This is Naftali Bennett.
Yeah, right? We should believe everything Naftali Bennett says, right?
Who is worse, Bennett
him,
or Netanyahu?
Or are we going to believe our own eyes, you know?
Who is worse, Mitch, Netanyahu or Naftali Bennett? Who do you think?
Naftali Bennett is. The difference
between
the two...
I think he's more radical. Yeah,
the difference between the two is Netanyahu is really a Jewish nationalist, okay? He was concerned with Israel and what Israel wanted, okay? Whereas Naftali Bennett is an actual Zionist, and Zionists are not concerned with Israel. They're concerned with ruling the world, okay? So there's a big difference between the two. Netanyahu wanted to rule Israel, and it's sort of like when we had Nixon running for president. Nixon was a guy who wanted to rule the world, whereas JFK, who was running against him at the time, just wanted to rule the United States. So it's sort of the same sort of dynamic and stuff. When I was growing up, my father called these people one-worlders. That's the term he had for him. So he actually, God bless my dad, because he started talking to me about one-worlders when I was a teenager. He could see what they were doing. And not only that, but he worked for the government. He was a border patrolman, then a criminal investigator for immigration. And he told me things that the government did, and wow, it's like, you know, everybody's supposed to obey the law except the government, you know. They do not obey the law, not even the law that was written for them, which was the Constitution. They don't even obey it. So, you know, I think hard times are coming, and they're coming pretty fast, you know.
So fast. And I just hope some of you went out this weekend and went to Costco or whatever and bought yourself half a dozen cases of baked beans, black beans, whatever. Get something you can survive on. Please. No joke. Mitch will tell you. You're lucky we have still an opportunity to do this. Could vanish very
get
quickly.
It now. Listen, canned food, some people think you got to go buy this special food to store it a long time. Canned food will keep for a very long time.
Yes, it will.
In 1971, I was up in the woods in Alaska, and me and my buddy came upon this cabin, abandoned cabin out there, and there was a can of chicken soup made in 1940 in this cabin. We opened that can and ate it, and it tasted just like a can of soup that was made yesterday. So this was soup that had gone through warm summers, you know, 50 below zero temperatures in the winter.
And it didn't have any funky chemical preservatives in it either, I'll bet. 1940, that would have been pretty much three or four ingredients.
Yeah, 1940 didn't have anything special in it.
Yeah.
No.
Wow.
No preservatives. So in there, there's no germs in it. We did not get sick. It was tasty.
Wonders in a vacuum. That's what it is, a vacuum.
Yeah. But that was a 31-year-old can of food, you know.
You can make a commercial, you know.
Yeah, right. So people have to understand that that expiration date, it's just that everything expires in 1 year. If you want it to expire longer than 1 year, then you have to get you have to prove it to the FDA that it's good for more than 1 year.
Yeah.
But it's not in the interest of businesses to have food that's good for more than 1 year, because they want a turnaround. You know, they want you to throw away your old stuff and buy new stuff. I've even gone into the store before and saw expiration date of 1 year on a container of salt. Salt will be salt.
Oh,
a million
right. Salt.
Years
didn't
from
you
now.
Know that? Salt goes bad after 1 year. Oh my God!
Yeah, right.
Be careful.
So don't buy into that stuff. You know.
Well, good job. Good job. Mitch, thank you very much for the
rundown.
You're
very welcome.
It's crazy out there. You work hard on these, and you bring a lot of good information, and everybody appreciates it. So we'll talk to you next week. All right? Take care.
Okay. You too. Take care.
Okay. Thank you. Mitchell Henderson. All right. We will be back in just a few minutes. Hold on.